today on Real Radio.
Every human being has a God that dwells within them. Oh no, I'm not talking about Shirley MacLaine and self-deity. No, I'm talking about the passion for which you live. That's the God, little g, that lives within you. It could be sports cars, could be money, could be power, could be drugs, could be alcohol, whatever it is. What is the passion that you live for?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Give Them Jesus, Part 1, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 4 today, verses 12 through 17 and 20. How can we, who are sinful by nature, come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. Galatians 4, 12 through 20 is the most heartfelt scripture of grace that the Apostle Paul had ever written. For God promised His gospel of grace to all of mankind, a gospel that's eternal and will never fail. That's why Paul preached with such a passionate enthusiasm not to turn away from God's gospel by departing from its simple truths. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul urges the believer to obey God's word. He goes on to say that life events will reveal who we really are and how our personal witness really does matter. God will give us strength even in our weakest moments and when we need His power the most. And now, in his lesson called Give Them Jesus, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Galatians chapter 4. What a great chapter of the Bible we're in. And quite frankly, we approach a portion of Scripture this morning that is very, very powerful. And I'm going to wait till you turn there before I say much more, because I don't want you to miss the introduction. Not that it's some super thing. It's just this, that it's very personal. This morning we come to the portion of Paul's teaching in Galatians 4 that I have really scheduled this for one teaching, but I can guarantee you right now it's probably going to break up into two just because. When I say just because, it's because all commentators of the Scripture, when they look at this, the Greek scholars, when they look at the Bible here in the original language, from verses 12 to 20, there is no other portion of Paul's writings where he uses the words that he does in the verses before us this morning. The construction of his language is unique to all of other teachings by Paul. This is a very, very unusual portion of Scripture, and I think you're going to love the reason why. I know I do. And I have to tell you, as we get into this, I'm very biased toward Paul and where his heart's at. Though I'm 2,000 years removed from him, the Holy Spirit, the author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit has left behind the ability in the written Word of God that we might understand where Paul's coming from. Now remember who he's speaking to, a group of people he loves. They had come to know Jesus Christ personally as Lord and Savior. Then he moved on to other regions of the world preaching the gospel. But then word came to him that they were beginning to err. They were leaving their simple, exciting, dynamic relationship with God, and they were getting into trying to be good enough to get to heaven. They were trying to earn their way before the Lord. And so to do that, they thought, well, let's go back to Judaism. Though most of them were Gentiles, they didn't know a thing about Judaism. But certain legalists came from Jerusalem behind Paul and were preaching salvation through faith in Jesus Christ plus works. And that Paul wrote, and for that reason he penned the book of Galatians and, for that matter, the book of Romans. So as we look and as we remember, verses 8 through 11, Pastor Paul lamented the fact that the believers in Galatia were polluting their thinking with a regression of their faith, that they would go back to works. And he talked about that in verses 8 through 11. We saw that last time. but it's with a very passionate enthusiasm. Can you write that word enthusiasm down? It's very important by way of introduction. I've said it many times. I'll say it again. Enthusiasm. The word in English is rooted in the Greek, and the word en is to dwell inside. Theos meaning God, and asm meaning action. It's a very important word. Enthusiasm. Somebody might say, well, I'm an enthusiast about whatever. Shopping, a woman might say, or NASCAR, a guy might say. I don't know what the thing is, but you know what I'm talking about. Home Depot? Whatever you're enthusiast about, the word means in, to dwell inside, theos, God. The God who dwells inside, asm, causes a reaction, causes an action. The God who dwells within you causes an action. And every human being has a God that dwells within them. Oh no, I'm not talking about Shirley MacLaine and self-deity. No, I'm talking about the passion for which you live. That's the God, little g, that lives within you. It could be sports cars, could be money, could be power, could be drugs, could be alcohol, whatever it is. What is the passion that you live for? Enthusiasm. Now, if you look up in the 1828 dictionary of Noah Webster, he defines the word enthusiasm reserved only for the Christian, he says. It is God dwelling inside the Christian that causes him to live an active life for God. Thus, the meaning of the word enthusiasm. Isn't that great? Is it early or isn't that great? Oh, you're there. I didn't want to be the only one to get up early today. Enthusiasm, passionately, he admonishes the Galatian believers. He exhorts them to think scripturally. Now remember this, Galatians 1 verses 6 through 9 said, Paul speaking, he says, I marvel, that's passionate speaking, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him, that is Jesus, who called you into the grace of Christ, to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and who want to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, but even if we or an angel come from heaven and preach any other gospel to you than what you have heard or received from us, let him be damned. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other message or gospel to you than what you have received, let him be anathema or damned or accursed. So passionate is Paul for the souls of men. God's promise is the gospel, and that gospel is given to mankind. And when Paul made that admonition, exhortation to them in Galatians 1, he was telling his listeners, and by the way, us today, that there is no other gospel that can save a man. Even though people knock on your door and peddle some other gospel or some other testament, the Bible says no. There's one, it came through Christ, and that is the one that is eternal and that will endure. And Paul speaks that with passion, and so he should. But the Galatian believers were departing from their simple faith. Galatians 3:1 tells us, with passion, he says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. That word means that Paul was faithful to present to them Jesus Christ crucified as a witness. Now in verses 12 to 20, as we see this morning, Pastor Paul goes after their hearts with a plea for their affection. Their affection now is departed from Paul, and he challenges them in this most important thing. And before we get into this, I want to brace you for something. Paul is our perfect example of how to minister, and Paul does so in an interesting way. Ministering, and that's just not for me, that's for all of us, has many things involved in it, okay? Exciting things, encouraging things, teaching things, yes, all of that. But also disciplinary things? Say what? Yeah, disciplinary things, words of admonishment. That means in ministry there's corrections to be made because none of us are perfect. So we read the Bible and it changes the way that we think, the things that we do in our lives. It is our light and our lamp to the path and to our feet of who we are, the Bible. And I'm not going to make any apologies for what we're going to be learning from Paul this morning. The Bible makes it clear spiritually there's a time to spank and there's a time to embrace. By the way, if you're a good parent, right after you spank, what do? You embrace. You say, well, it's going to cause the child to be confused. No, it's not. Because if you've ever disciplined your child, it could be with just a little word, it could be with a little tap on the finger, or it could be with a spank. Have you noticed that when their will is broken in this area of being stubborn or whatever it might be, have you noticed that they cry or they tear up? And what do? They say, Mommy or Daddy, and they come. Don't ever refuse your child when they've been disciplined and they're coming to you. Don't ever. When a child has been corrected, as they come to you, don't ever say, get away from me. Listen, parent, please don't ever do that. They have repented. Their heart is broken. Teach them and give them the picture of God. The moment that happens, he embraces you. Embrace them. Kiss them. Slobber all over them. Smooch them. Let them have it. Because contrition's already there. You don't need to beat them. Their heart's broken. It's very important. God deals with us kindly and gently, but listen, he does it sometimes firmly. Spanking 101. Matthew 18, 15 says, moreover, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his sin between you and him alone. Don't bring your friend. Go to him alone. And don't gossip to anybody either. Did you know what Johnny did to me? Well, did you talk to Johnny about it? No. Then you're sinning. Go and talk to Johnny alone. Jesus says, tell Johnny alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, then take someone with you. And then two. And then if he refuses to hear you still, take to him or take before him the church. But go to your brother. Why? Jesus is gentle. God is gentle. And when there's correction to be made, God says, go to that person on your own. You know what? There's no fear, or I should say there's little fear of God in the hearts of many Christians today. They will gossip, they will complain, they will whine to other people about what some other brother or sister has done to them or said to them, and they will not, because they have no integrity, go to that brother or sister who's hurt them. They would rather sin and gossip and complain than obey the word of God and go to their brother. This is a scourge in the Christian church today. And then people who won't do that, they'll often spiritualize their sin. They'll go to a prayer meeting and they'll say, oh Lord, and I'm sure God puts his big fingers in his big ears and plugs up those ears right then and there. Dear God, you know what John did to me the other day. And people will gossip in prayer. Jesus says, if your brother's hurt you, if someone's offended you, go to him alone. Why? Because in Spanking 101, God does it gently. Christians, we need to walk in integrity. And if somebody has wronged you, go to them and say, you know, you've wronged me in this area. At least I perceive, I sense that you have. Will you please explain yourself to me? Do it alone. Jesus says, if he listens to you, you've gained your brother. Very important. Well, if that's Spanking 101, what about Embracing 101? Embracing 101 is this. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a sin, who does not know someone who has fallen to sin? You who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Isn't that great? That's embracing. It is wrong for the Christian church to know about someone's sin and to ostracize them if that person's repented. Go to them and restore them. Wouldn't it be great? In fact, I'm not much of a crusade kind of guy. I can't do a crusade. But maybe somebody can steal this idea and go with it. We have a lot of crusades about reaching the lost, and so we should. But I think there should be a crusade to reach those that are bruised, battered, and broken. I believe that if we can fill the Anaheim Stadium up with 60,000 people to hear Christ preached, I believe that if we were a church or if we were Christians to conduct a crusade to bring those from the church who are no longer in church, who are broken, bruised, and battered people, and announce to them, hey, come on back. God loves you, and we want to show you the love of God. Come on back. I think you'd pack out a stadium many nights over. I believe there's a sleeping giant of Christians out there who wouldn't even cross the threshold of a church anymore. Because this area of perhaps church discipline or spanking and embracing has never correctly been done. Why am I saying this morning? Because Paul is going to discipline his hearers. And he does that as we look in our study this morning in verses 12 to 15, taking notes, jot it down. We want to be careful to give the people Jesus. Verses 12 to 15. Paul opens up by teaching us this in Galatians 4, verse 12. He says, "Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And now my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then? Was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." First point to our message in verses 12 to 15, we want to be careful that we give people Jesus, and Paul was careful to do that this way, because it begins, that is, giving people Jesus, it begins with our personal witness. Christian, jot it down. People will know Jesus by my life. That's a serious thing, isn't it? You say, "Jack, I don't want to write that down." Oh, write it down. People are forming an opinion about God by how you and I live our lives. Listen, they're forming an opinion about how God is when they come into this church. Did anybody say hi to you this morning? Well, maybe it's because God doesn't want to say hi to me either. No, it's because we blew it. God loves you and he wants to say hi to you. Are people hugging and holding you and say, "Hey, welcome, come on in"? Yeah, they're kind of touchy. Well, that's because Jesus is kind of huggy and touchy, I think, you know. He wants you to feel accepted. Look, we are little humans trying to present a big God to you. It's pretty overwhelming, you know. If you've come in here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you know what our biggest passion is this morning? To give you Christ. "I thought it was to make me a member." No, we don't have membership. "I thought it was to take my money." No. And if you put money in the offering, come and see me. We'll give it back to you after service. I'm serious. That's not why we want you here. We want to have one function in your life, and that is to give Jesus Christ to you. And the scary thing is, we often fail at that miserably, and for that we apologize. If we're going to give you Jesus, it's because of a personal witness. We have something to say, and we have someone to live for. Are we fanatical? I don't think we're fanatical in the modern day definition of fanatical. But are we excited? Yeah. Is it called enthusiasm? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sure is. Why? Because in verses 12 to 13, we learn this, that who we are privately will someday be publicly known. Who you and I are as Christians privately will someday be publicly known. You want to know how I know that's true? Because God will take his children and make them a witness. How so? Paul's going to show us how. He says, "Brethren," that's a term of love, "I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first." Class, do you see that? If you underline those words, "I preached the gospel to you," it's important to understand that it comes after the statement that he quotes, or states, I should say, his physical infirmity. "I lived among you without power," Paul is speaking. "But in my weakness, I presented Christ to you." The witness of who he was came out in his life's experience. It's a very serious thing Paul had. He had a very serious illness. We know from certain portions of Scripture and from church history, listen, that Paul probably, can't prove it, but probably suffered from malaria that he caught on his missionary journeys. The reason why he goes to the region of Galatia was because it's high country. It's cooler temperatures in the evening, warm temperatures in the day, but very dry, no humidity. Listen, no mosquitoes. It's possible by Paul's ailments that we learn throughout Scripture that Paul's eyesight went very, very bad. In fact, at the end of this book, he's going to see, "Do you see how I wrote with you with such large letters?" it was referred to and spoken of in church history that Paul the Apostle had a very severe eye disease, which often accompanies those who have suffered from malaria. Severe headaches, debilitating headaches, extreme fever, often for the rest of your life. Paul was sick. Now, this is what we don't know. Did he go to the regions of Galatia because he was sick, or did he go to the regions of Galatia to recuperate? It doesn't matter, but some people wonder about this. The point is, he was sick. He got sick, and he's either recuperating in the area of Galatia, or he's sick at this present time. But whatever he says to them, now listen up, there's a point to this. He says, hey, everybody, I came preaching to you, and I was weak. I was really sick. Now, Lord, please help me not to go off on this. But when you watch stuff on TV, when those guys tell you, God wants you healthy. If you're sick, it's your lack of faith. You know, that is not Bible. And I'm being nice. That is not Bible. Right here, God's man says, I came to you in physical infirmities. I was sick. Oh, don't confess that, brother, because it's going to come on you. Have you ever heard that stuff? Don't confess it. I had somebody, they were so sick, they had laryngitis. This was years ago when I fellowshiped at a different church. Somebody was visiting. They coughed, and when they turned and greeted each other, turn and greet. We turned and greeted. Hello. I said, oh, you're sick. I'll pray for you. Oh, no. What's the matter? I'm not going to confess it. Confess what? You know, what you just said. What? They wouldn't say the word sick, because if they said the word sick and they confessed it, that's a sign of weakness, and God was not going to touch them. Can you believe that? Paul says, I came to you guys preaching the gospel, wanted to make a good impression. He was sick. Our God is a God of practical living. When you're sick, pray. And if God heals you, praise the Lord. If you're sick, pray. And if God doesn't heal you, praise the Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Give Them Jesus, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you share with others God's love and His simple plan of salvation. Give Them Jesus, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds, for we're justified through faith, and not of our works should any of us boast. Today was day one of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. And here's a special announcement. Pay real close attention to this one. This Sunday night, Pastor Jack's going to be doing another Happening Now Facebook Live event on his Facebook page. That's this Sunday, the 28th, at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. That's 9 Eastern. So don't miss it. Pastor Jack and special guest, our friend Amir Tsafati, will be discussing why Jerusalem matters from a historical, a biblical, and current events perspective. Once again, that's this Sunday, 28th, at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Pastor Jack's Facebook page, or you can click the link right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. The Happening Now events on Facebook Live, current events from a biblical perspective. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. You know, there is an easy way to get the Real Life devotion. All you got to do is go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Devotions tab and get the Real Life devotions sent right to your email. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week. Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, click on the Devotions tab, or why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Get the Real Life devotions once a week to take your walk with God to a deeper level. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? Great sermons from Pastor Jack brought to you every Friday. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the Watch tab. Join us for the Real Life TV program every Friday morning. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.